Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money. Today, we're going to have a very interesting show. We've got to talk about the Canada Pension Plan. It hasn't been paying out the full benefits it's supposed to be paying. So you may be a recipient of CPP and not getting the full amount that you're entitled to. Well, what is that and what can you expect and how are you going to collect on that? You want to stick around for that for sure. Calgary. Now, Calgary is a city we have been through, I would say, a tough 7 years, probably since 2014. But you know what? Internationally, we are ranked very, very high in terms of the quality of life, the work-life balance quality. And we're going to talk to one of the authors of that survey and give you some idea of where we rank. And then what do you need to be thinking about when it comes to diet and healthy aging? And then finally, there's some calls to change RIF rules. What are they? Well, let's talk to Bill Robson, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the CD Howe Institute. He's all the way from Toronto. So, Bill, why are there calls for the changes to RIF rules? What are the problems?
Well, sure. We can start very high level and ask what it is that governments are trying to do in this whole area of retirement saving. And the very high level picture is that there's broad recognition that it makes sense to provide tax relief on money that goes into retirement saving plans. If you didn't do that, thinking of corporate pension plans, for example, there'd be very strong incentive for people to make promises but not back them up, not actually put the money aside. And so the idea is that you provide tax relief on the way in, and as a matter of fairness, you want to make the same saving opportunities available to people who don't have corporate or government pension plans. But the government limits these things on the way in, and then on the way out, as you were just discussing, there are mandatory with minimum withdrawals from RIFs and similar types of products. And the motivation with those mandatory minimum withdrawals is a little bit the same as what it is with the limits on the contributions going in. Governments really like to collect revenue at the earliest possible date that they can. So they are kind of grudging with respect to these contribution limits on the way in. And they're kind of, in my view, over-enthusiastic about forcing people to draw their savings down and therefore pay tax on it on the way out. So one of the things that we've been looking at a lot at the CD Howe Institute is kind of big picture, why would you have such limits at all? And given that there are going to be some limits, what's appropriate given how long people live and what the returns are on their investments and what kind of income that you need to live on in retirement? So all of those things at the moment say to me, the limits are kind of low. I think that the limits on the way in ought to be higher. Certainly if you're an MP or you're a federal public servant, you're saving a whole lot more for retirement than that in a tax deferred way. And then on the way out, the main topic for today, I think that the drawdowns are too quick. I think people are forced to run their tax deferred saving down faster than is really desirable, and certainly for people who want that security well into old age. So I think it is time to look at the whole system, and certainly we should be starting with the RIF limits, because they really do force people to draw their savings down at a rate, particularly if you're a woman with returns on safe securities like government bonds as low as they are now, your chances of outliving your tax deferred saving have really gone up.
Bill, there's been a lot of debate in the past about the RRSP to be a similar type of mechanism as a defined benefit pension plan. In fact, the government rules state that if you're putting money or you have a defined benefit pension plan, you may not be able to put as much money in an RRSP anyway. They kind of compare the two as the same thing. And you were talking about on the way in money going into an RRSP, similar to a defined benefit pension plan. But on the way out, the defined benefit pension plan is a little bit more advantageous versus a RIF in many cases. You did talk about that in previous write-ups that you've done. Kind of give us an idea of where the comparison is and then where does it contrast from?
Well, the idea that the two should be equivalent, that if you're in a defined benefit plan or an RRSP or a defined contribution plan, some other type of saving mechanism, that there should be a fairly level playing field, kind of, it's intuitively attractive. You wouldn't want people sometimes happens nowadays, people kind of are attracted to government jobs because the pension's better. You'd rather not have a tilted playing field. So it makes sense if you're going to have these limits to make them apply across the board and to try and make them fair so that, it's not attractive for somebody to work in the public sector versus the private sector or some other kind of thing that complicates people's employment decisions. What you have to be paying attention to is, you know, what kind of income in retirement is possible through an annuity or a defined benefit pension plan versus some arrangement where you're putting the money in and then, say, drawing it down in a RIF. And what it really comes down to is two things: how long people are likely to live, and what kind of returns are available on the sorts of investments that are appropriate for somebody who's, you know, getting older. And in both of those areas, when the rules were originally put in place, both for accumulating and for drawing down, people were not living as long. And the returns on safe investments, including government bonds, were much higher, including in real terms, much higher than inflation, say 5 or 6 percentage points above inflation. And in a circumstance like that, it's not that hard to provide retirement security for yourself. But in the modern world, where people are living a good deal longer and real returns on safe investments, in fact, they're almost negative nowadays, if you think of the CPI where it is and yields on government bonds being where they are, that's where the difficulty is. And so that's why I mentioned both the accumulation and the decumulation side, because the same factors, longevity and the rate of return on safe investments, affect both of them. And in the case of defined benefit pension plans, where you're promised an annuity for life, it's not the same as when you have to manage these things on your own and you're worried about outliving your saving.
We've got less than 2 minutes left. I want to make one comment that I want to go back to you about some things that the government should do or think about, maybe three things that they should consider when it comes to RIFs. Here's the problem that we're facing in today's market and economy. Right now, interest rates pretty much all-time low. Mm. When you age and you go into an RSP and then you turn it into a RIF, generally speaking, 71 years of age, your risk tolerance draws down. You don't have that kind of comfort of taking big swings with your savings. And so you're kind of getting pushed to take on safer investments, yet they're not providing the same yield. This is what Bill keeps on talking about, safe investments. What the government, along with the current economy has done, has pushed people up the risk spectrum in their retirement savings. So they're taking on more equity, they're taking on more risk, they have a higher propensity of losing some or all of that money. That puts a big burden on the taxpayer, because then we have to take care of these individuals who've had just bad luck or improper investing, given their tolerances. So there's a problem with that. This becomes a vicious circle, in my opinion. So I'm going to go back to you now, Bill. Knowing that there's this whole landscape of these types of issues, what are two or three things the government can do in order to alleviate or even negate this problem?
Well, the very first thing I'd like to see them do is make the mandatory RIF withdrawals and the rules that apply to similar types of vehicles less onerous, less demanding, because we do need to make that money last longer. And I'm very glad that you mentioned the danger that people are getting tempted into more risky investments. One of the things that I really do not like about the mandatory RIF drawdowns is that it's true you can put the money into a TFSA. It's true there are other things that you can do with the money. But the very fact that, say, in your late 80s or your 90s, you're being forced to make these transitions, that adds a layer of risk as well. That's not a great time of life to be suddenly making new big investment decisions. So that's the very first thing that I would like to see the government do. I'd like to see those mandatory minimum withdrawals get lower. And when governments say, well, yeah, but we got to collect the tax revenue, they will. At the end of your life, the CRA is very good at collecting the money, and the government's immortal. They can wait. Whereas for us as individuals, you want to be confident that that tax-deferred money is going to last as long as you are.
Bill, I think we're going to have to shut it down there. Thank you. We can't do justice to this particular topic in 10 minutes, but I think you've raised some awareness on some issues that will likely continue to resonate with some. Thank you for your time.
I hope they do. The governments have moved on this before. They can do it again, and it's time they did. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. We've been joined by Bill Robson, Chief Executive Officer of the C.D. Howe Institute, joined us from Toronto. You know, we've got to take the current tax laws, we've got to take whatever changes might come, we've got to take changes in life, and we've got to make sure that people can get through and achieve that set of experiences, the lifestyle experiences that they want forever. And we're going to talk about how to do that.
Yeah, that's the scariest point in a person's life, is when they're 100% dependent on their savings to live off of the rest of their lives, and they have to draw down, and there's all these rules that they have to go through. But how do you bulletproof your retirement is pretty much what we're going to talk about, so you can enjoy that lifestyle on Tuesday, August 24th, 7 p.m. live online. Now, you need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
The Canada Pension Plan may not be paying you what it fully owes you. Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.